You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Ever wonder why razors are so expensive? Maybe it's because razors are loaded up with so much shave technology. Vibrating handles, 19 blades, a laser pointer, compass, thermometer, back scratcher. I don't need any of that. Okay? None of it. And it's not fair to make me pay for it. I was sick of paying out the nose to get a great shave. That's why I made the switch to DollarShaveClub.com. DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing razors and grooming supplies for a couple bucks. It's simple and smart. It takes 2 minutes to get going, and then you never have to worry about razors again. DollarShaveClub.com gives you a free handle. And then they send you replacement blades for just a few bucks. And you can get blades delivered every month or every other month. For blades will arrive, they like clockwork, right to your door. Stop squeezing weeks of shaves out of a dull razor and start treating yourself to a fresh blade shave anytime you want. Believe me when I tell you, DollarShaveClub.com blades are fantastic. I've never had a closer shave. Upgrade to the smarter way to shave. Get your shave gear where I get mine. DollarShaveClub.com/Kelly. Go there. Use that. All right? Shave time. Shave money. DollarShaveClub.com/Kelly. That's where you go. And you get a deal. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Kelly. You'll have the best shave, the cheapest price, delivered right to your door. DollarShaveClub.com/Kelly. Go now. Going on, YKWD fans, make sure you go to my website, robertkellylive.com, and drop the $5 to get my new hour special, Robert Kelly Live from the Village Underground. If you haven't already gotten it, go get it. Just go to my website. It's a $5 donation. You can give more, you can give less. Some people gave $100, but most people give $5. It's up there right now. It's a pre-order, so that means you don't get it now, but when it comes out in April, it'll be delivered right to your phone, tablet, computer, whatever. And it's unedited. It's a longer version than the one on Comedy Central, and I'm pretty proud of it. So please, go get it. If you already got it, thanks for getting it. Tell a friend. Spread the word. Everybody who listens to this podcast should own that special. If you listen to this fucking show and you don't own that special, you're a piece of shit. RobertKellyLive.com. Robert Kelly Live at the Village Underground. Go get it now.
Welcome to the funniest podcast on the planet Earth.
I always try to keep it like a comic hang. I have a bunch of guys on. It's just us sitting down and yapping. And sometimes it's hilarious. Sometimes it's intense.
It's Robert Kelly's
You Know What
podcast.
No topics, no directions, but I love doing it.
On riotcast.com.
I actually came to like this song because it's on WWE 2K15.
I sounds like the music Batista shits
to. Yeah, he's like, when he doesn't have enough water in his system.
I poop alone inside this pit of danger.
This would be playing, if this was 99, it would be playing in every strip club in Florida.
Dude, well, strippers would be fighting over it. They're fighting on who's going to go dance
to
this.
By the way, that song was played at Test's funeral.
Oh, that's pretty sad. Hey, what's up? Welcome to You Know What, Dude. Bobby Kelly is out. I am Dan Soder, a.k.a. Monster Voice, and I'm sitting in because it's snowy out. And Bobby, of course, lives upstate. That's what I like to call it. He lives upstate and is...
It's too much snow for him.
It is. Chris Scopa with me. R2-D2.
R2-D-Poo.
I know. I like calling you R2-D2. When I know you that you made that connection on Twitter, I was like, that clever motherfucker.
Based on the sweater, can we just say Bangladeshi Freddy Krueger?
I would have gone Bollywood Freddy Krueger. That would have probably mainstreamed it more.
I went the alt way. Everyone says Bollywood. Not enough people say Bangladeshi.
That's the walking joke machine. Mike Lawrence, the man talks in jokes. He's like the Riddler, but with jokes. And then, can I call you Nathaniel? Carl? I always like
that. Is my full name?
Yeah,
but I mean
Nathan McIntosh. But
Nathan McIntosh. Yeah, but my full name is Nathaniel, and I just dropped the IEL.
But you go
as a baby.
You go Nathan.
Nathan, yes.
Not Nate.
Nobody in America calls me Nathan, which is really funny to me. I've already shortened it. Like it is Nathaniel, shortened it to Nathan, and down here it's Nate. No matter what, it's very funny.
And I can already American creation.
What, Nate?
Yeah,
it sounds like an American creation, but yeah, I also like that you're a little bit of Canadian cuntiness came through on your voice. You're like, everyone in America calls me Nate. It's like, well, that's what we've named you.
If yeah. Anywhere
that's your
else,
American
anywhere
name.
Else in the world.
I'm not bringing up to Nathan McIntosh.
It's such a hard thing to put together.
No, but Nathan McIntosh sounds like a kid that died in middle school that you were friends with.
You were the Nationwide commercial
kid.
Well,
let me tell you something. He didn't. He's here today.
Nathan, for you, sounds like a show that gets A pluses on the AV Club. Nate, for you, sounds like something that lasted on the CMT for three episodes.
I was
episodes.
Just going to say that. And it's sponsored by Guy Fieri's restaurant.
I'm Nate for you. Here's some jalapeno donkey balls.
Joe, the truth list, supposed to be somewhere.
He's stuck on the 14th train. He just texted me.
Oh, I bet he's blinking a lot. He gets nervous.
He's nervous.
Blinks.
He's nervous right now, yeah.
There's a lot of blinking going on that 14th
train. I just moved in
stuff.
With Joe List.
What?
Yeah, I'm pumped
You're in
up.
Astoria now?
I'm in Astoria, yeah.
You're in the big room.
I'm in the big, I got the nice room.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
I
you had that kind of money.
Officially, well, you know, wow. Working garbage.
Yeah,
not gonna
fucking
lie.
Changing brakes.
I haven't officially moved in because I don't have a bed yet, but everything is there.
Do you just sleep on the ground? Like Stallone in Assassins?
No,
do you just roll up a towel?
His voice always sounds like he's about to plan a robbery.
See, I always get that he's like picking a fight at a sports game. That's how it always sounds. He's like, yo, what'd you say to me, bro? Yeah. Yo, you walk away from me, bro. You a Devils fan?
Bro, first of all, don't talk about the Rangers like that.
There it is.
All right?
There's his fucking bleacher fighting
Rangers
voice.
Rangers playing tonight, right?
I was supposed to go to the game, yeah, but I had to do this.
I come to these games because someday the Washington Generals are going to put the Globetrotters back in their place.
Yeah.
It will happen, trust me.
I always like when Lawrence talks about sports because there's an outside shot that he could get it right, but most of the time you're like, oh, okay,
he said Generals,
Simpsons.
Too, and I was
but he went on a Globetrotters.
This was a Simpsons reference.
Yeah, it was the Simpsons.
I know some sports.
You do.
He might as well said the Isotopes are going to beat the Shelbyville, what was their name, Minions or some? What was their thing?
Well, when Homer danced for the Isotopes, they played Shelby. Who else did they play? They played everybody.
But Shelbyville, what? They had
that,
what was their...
That scene, the dancing Homer thing, that is if you're ever a comic and you get an opportunity you're not ready for, that I always think of that.
Oh, that's a good point.
Whenever like, the first time, like, I thought I had a great set and I realized it wasn't that good and a guy came up after me. Like, everyone has their goofball.
Yeah.
The Capital City goofball that, like, fucking puts
okay,
you in your
so
place.
Yeah, the Capital City, Shelbyville. This is going to bug me. If List was here, he'd probably get it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what that team was called, the Shelbyville something.
What was that for?
From
was
the Simpsons.
Simpsons. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I liked, you had the energy like it was a real sports team. You're like, wait, who are they?
Where How can I bet
they?
On this?
I thought were they were a minor league team for a
yeah,
second.
Who do they yeah, feed yeah, into? Yeah. Do they feed into the Red Sox or the Indians?
Who's their pairing club?
Importantly, what are the names of the teams for Ogdenville and North Havenbrook? I think those are important questions.
Here's Mike, I'm going to be like Bobby real quick. You got to eat those mics, buddy. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
This is why you're in the chair.
This is why I'm in the chair.
People want to know why I don't sit in the captain's chairs because you got to give out the fucking orders, and I'm not comfortable with that. I'm the fun stepdad. Yeah. I'm not the fucking military.
Dan
stepdad.
Takes you to get ice cream.
pull the mic away from your mouth. Don't even talk into it.
I just make sure you didn't see me and your mom having sex, and then I take you out to buy you a toy.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, we're still cool, right?
Or a Nissan.
Yeah. I want to talk about the commercials about the Super Bowl, but I want to wait for Joe List because...
He's a Pats fan,
yeah. And he's hilarious, and I always value his opinion, and this fucking E-train stuck.
Yeah. He's just lying.
So let's talk
but
wrestling.
He's not a liar.
Let's talk wrestling until Joe List gets here.
That's cool.
And if you don't like wrestling, just click forward 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're watching...
40 minutes.
And if you're watching live stream, just do your actual job. Because you're probably watching this at work.
Don't complain about us.
Yeah, please do your job.
Oh, we have the man himself calling in.
Who, Bobby Kelly?
Yeah.
Answer. I hate that your light flashes. Bobby!
Hey, what's up, Bobby?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, how are you doing? Y'all snowed in, Bobby?
I just got done shoveling the second time.
Okay. How is it? Is it slick up there?
Ugh. You know what bugs me? Because I'm watching live on the on our YouTube
Is that why you
stream, live stream.
We know you're watching live, of course.
it bugs me how just flawless you guys just do without me. Like,
I imagine you're watching it like the Claw and Inspector Gadget.
Claw, but hey, it's such a flawless show, and everybody's having such a good time.
Yeah, because you got to come famous, and we're slowly cropping you out.
And
yeah.
I was wondering why you were shoveling your own snow in, and I saw Chris Scopo here. So.
fuck, that was good.
Lawrence popped in. Lawrence stayed for the show, by the way.
Yeah, I talked Lawrence in because I knew.
I saw him. Why does Deepu have a camera shot with nobody in the seat?
Joe's not here yet.
Joe is stuck on the E-train right
like
now.
Like an old lady, he sets dinner for his dead husband. That's not showing up. And it's Scopo, by the way. Scopo has the ring. He has the... why does your phone...
I don't know. I can't get it to fucking not light up.
Yes, you can. We all have iPhones.
Yeah, that's a total... I don't even know how to get it to light
up. I was very kind of lazy in it. I searched for like 10 minutes and I just couldn't find it. I was like, oh, fucking whatever.
Dude, you have technical support right next to you. So how do you make sure...
Okay, you go to settings, flashlight, and then hit off.
See? It wasn't racist because he knew. Thank God.
I also love that Lawrence sometimes looks like a nom vet that's just spouting out racist shit. And you're like, I mean, he nailed it, though.
I'm the guy who shot Chris Kyle. That's what I'm
trying to say. Bobby.
Thank you for I'm sorry I couldn't be there. I got stuck out here trying to, make sure my family was all right.
Yeah. Go make sure my girlfriend's dad's doing all right.
But I apologize.
Okay. Well, you got your you have your upstate abode, your upstate compound.
Alan texted me. I said I canceled on him too. He goes, yeah, whatever, yuppie.
How much did that hurt? That really probably hurt you, didn't it?
Well, it hurt. It hurts because it's my therapist.
He's supposed to be the guy that understands him.
Yeah.
I don't know why he'd want to make me feel shitty.
Don't you see?
Making a decision. I finally made a decision for my family instead of for me. Let me take care. Let me step here and make sure they're okay and shovel things out.
He's like, yeah. Why don't you ask your wife for some of her tampons to shove up your pussy? Because I need to talk to you.
You're lucky. You got to laugh on that one.
Oh, dude, that was good. And fuck you. If you were sitting here, you would have been totally with it.
I really thought somebody else walked into the room.
By the way, it was a Canadian laugh, so its value wasn't as
guys,
great.
Guys, don't talk over one another.
See? He's keeping it.
I'm controlling it, Bobby.
First of all, fuck you, Scopo, for fucking mocking me. I know what that was.
I did correct Lawrence, by the way. I said he's got to eat the mics.
Well, tell him not to eat the mic too much. I don't want that stuff in his beard on our mic. And tell Dan, take that fucking hat off.
Nope.
Okay?
Nope.
Stop being grunge toast.
Yeah, bro. Welcome to Headbangers Ball Podcast.
Seattle Dan. Lost. He's wearing his beanie at half mast.
Yeah. Fuck Seattle. I'm glad they lost.
Dan, I don't like your fucking... The rope on your hoodie is too fat. I don't like them.
You know what? I like both of them, and I'm going to cross them like Golden Retriever paws. Like that.
I hope they're using like David Carradine. All right, I love you guys. I'll talk to you later. Have a great show.
Bye, Bobby.
Thanks for letting us do your podcast. All right, he's gone.
Where's the bomb bandana, by the way?
Why? What did I get?
No, I'm just saying, because it should be thrown around eventually.
I don't like how
we answered the question of who'd be sitting around watching the live feed of this podcast. Yeah,
someone just shoveled twice.
It's just him and the guy from Home Alone.
Yeah, with your beard, an older you. That's what I always think when I watch Home Alone. I was like, that looks like Mike Lawrence.
That's me in 5 years. Hey,
five.
Ain't no pussy like the pigeon lady pussy.
But they should have done a crossover.
I know.
Nah, that would have been a good one.
Where she comes to Chicago looking for the McAllisters and ends up falling in love.
They
can call it Home Full. What? I don't
they
know.
They give birth to Chris.
He's like, Dad, you want me to fight him for you? Dad, did he look at your Eagles jersey weird?
But the pigeon I loved the most was my son, Chris.
I always... Oh,
there he is.
Oh, now we can talk Super Bowl. Let's talk wrestling real quick. It sucks Roman Reigns won the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Why? I don't follow wrestling. So
you don't follow wrestling. So basically, in comedy, you hate when you see someone that's unfunny just get pushed to the top of the ladder?
Yes.
And you're like, why the fuck is this happening?
Yes.
That's what happened with Roman Reigns.
Okay.
Here's the best way to describe
it. He's a good-looking guy.
He's a good-looking dude, and he can do a couple cool power moves. So
that's all he is. He's like a creative character.
Yeah.
Here's the best way to describe it. So this guy that nobody wanted to win this important thing because whoever wins this match gets to headline WrestleMania.
So basically, so the winner goes to WrestleMania.
So he's basically headlining all over the country.
Yeah. The truth!
So everyone's shitting on this decision, and then, to make matters worse, The Rock comes out and holds his hand up and basically goes, "You like?"
Yeah. So The Rock came out. Everyone was mad. First off, the Royal Rumble was in Philly, and they're all very smart wrestling fans.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're just the best fans in the world.
I can't believe it. But it's true. They actually do know a lot about wrestling. Because ECW's
not about
there.
Human behavior.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, Roman Reigns had the opposite of a Bill Burr moment.
He really did. That was the opposite of the Philly showdown.
And I will be headlining WrestleMania at the end of this.
He didn't even do that. He was like, sorry.
And then The Rock comes out, and he's like, huh?
So The Rock came out
and shit on him.
They just booed.
Oh, but aren't they both Samoans? So that's
well, they're families.
Okay.
They're
really? They're cousins?
Yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah. They're like second or third cousins.
Well, The Rock is cousins with everybody. I see him on Instagram.
That's racist, Chris.
Hey, yeah, but that's really his Burrow knowledge coming out. He's like, on a certain level. They're all cousins, if you know what I mean.
But,
you know,
no, like Yokozuna, I'm saying he says he's all cousins.
Yeah, Alpha. Rikishi.
He's, I think, Sika's son. He might be, but Roman Reigns is one of the Wild Samoans.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so he's like a third generationer then.
Yeah, he's
like,
juiced in.
Hey, okay. Legacy. I'll announce him. Joe the Truth List.
I'm not sitting
yet. Ah, dude, I felt movement behind me, and I thought you were going to sit down. So thanks for.
But the thing is, like, can you imagine? This is how it is. Like, can you imagine someone bombing hard on a late night set, and then like fucking Chris Rock holding their hand up and going, "No, that was really good.
Yeah,
he had a good set.
He's the best. He's the best." And then everyone just booing him. Joe,
here I am, Dan.
Wow,
hot.
Am I hot? Sorry, I don't have cans on yet.
Yeah, come on. That was.
I'm not the truth anymore. My new name is Malcolm Butler.
Why Malcolm Butler?
You didn't watch the game?
Oh, yeah, because the pick?
I'm Malcolm Butler from now on. I legally changed my name.
You just take it away? How happy? Where did you watch it?
I watched it at Jason Cantor's house. I was all excited to talk Super Bowl, the whole thing, and Lawrence is here now.
We're going to talk Super Bowl. We were getting wrestling out of the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I even said we're going to wait till you get here to talk Super Bowl.
Well, I wanted to talk about the Royal Rumble, too, because I read all these posts about how it's the worst thing. Okay, I haven't watched wrestling in 20 years.
So you walked in. We're just talking about Roman Reigns got put over.
I don't know who that is.
He's a long-haired, gorgeous man.
Yeah.
But he's a dude. Nobody likes him.
Yeah, no one likes him.
Uh-huh. Did they like him last year? Like, didn't
they wanted
want him
to win last year. This is the thing with wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Just like comedy fans.
Okay. So just imagine, I'm trying to think of the best way. He's a part of like a fucking group. Imagine, let's say he's George Harrison. He's the silent type.
Right.
And
are you calling S.H.I.E.L.D. the Beatles of wrestling? I think that's
it's all groups now. When I was a kid, there was no groups.
Okay, so he was in a three-person
group. Tell me there's
a
difference between Dean Ambrose's singles push and the Plastic Ono band. You can't.
So they're... So they pushed this guy. Everyone kind of knew they were going to win, and everyone had signs. People had signs that said, "If Roman Reigns wins, we riot."
And wait, this is the Rumble?
Royal Rumble in Philly.
And what does the winner get? Is he the champ now?
You get to headline WrestleMania.
Oh.
So you're in a championship match. You get to pick which championship you want to go after at WrestleMania.
A lot of times they'll use it as a way to launch a new guy.
Right.
You get to pick? I thought you just ended up
with
a strap.
No, you get to choose which
one.
Yeah.
There's only one.
Oh, now that they unify. Yeah. Okay. Well, now that they brought him, it used to be you got to pick.
So who does he wrestle at WrestleMania?
He's going to wrestle Brock Lesnar.
And Brock Lesnar's the champ.
Yeah.
Got it.
Brock is awesome.
Brock should win the fight.
You're not a big fan of Brock?
Love Brock.
Okay, good.
Love everything he does.
Brock's fucking amazing.
So
I liked him in his first term, but his second term just has been a little disappointing.
I mean, that's almost like you watch wrestling.
I was doing political.
Yeah.
Brock.
Yeah. But you almost nailed it.
It was more of a pun, but maybe I got it. I don't know.
You tried to be punny, and you ended up nailing an analogy.
A lot of people have said that.
Yeah.
This is going to be the nerdiest episode ever, including, I'm counting football as nerddom.
Why? Oh, yeah.
Yes, we're going to talk wrestling and into football.
I mean, what are
the women are
going to
be
about?
Outraged.
There's only seven that listen to it.
Any
so
7 minutes
it.
Of football in a row, I will mention something about Katy Perry's halftime performance.
I would love to talk Katy Perry. I want to talk all of it.
I'm coming in as a backup quarterback. Listen, if we just get through this thing, this is a midseason game.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
We're not in a playoff game.
Playoffs!
That was fun. I mean, congratulations to your New England Patriots.
It was very exciting. What a victory.
One question. When the circus catch happened, you were like, fuck, it's going
to
happen again.
That's when I accepted the loss and wasn't even upset about it. I'm like, I can't believe it happened again.
Yeah. Okay.
The chances of it happening to lose like that is like, well, that's insane.
And in Arizona.
Three different times is ridiculous.
But, what do you mean three different times?
Well, the Tyree catch and then the Manningham just unbelievable catch, which saved them.
Right. That was unbelievable. But that wasn't quite like this, where the play is broken up.
Yeah.
They defended it unbelievably. But that catch... Here's the thing about the rules now, where all the fucking unnecessary roughness and all this stuff that came into play there, because that safety jumps over the guy and doesn't finish the play. Whereas 10 years ago, I'm not against the rules, you're going to save lives, but 10 years ago, while he's on the ground juggling, that safety runs over and fucking annihilates him. And he doesn't catch it.
I want to disagree with you, because there was a playoff game in 2004 or 3 before that rule, before they had all those heavy rules, and the Broncos were playing the Colts. And Peyton Manning threw to Marvin Harrison, and he went to the ground, and they did the same thing where they jumped over him, like, and he got up and ran in for a touchdown.
Right.
So it's almost like...
I think it was a judgment call if they wanted to hand him or not.
I think that's a judgment call.
I don't think
call.
Anybody thought he was going to catch that ball.
Well, I don't even... I didn't think he did.
No, safety, me neither. Well, until
if the safety ran over and nailed him, I mean, there's no chance of
watching it live, though, because even Al Michaels was confused. He even said, oh, he caught that ball?
And because I thought it hit the ground.
It looked like he just got up and tried to fake run it in as if, like, I did catch this.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But he didn't. It was amazing.
And how about Butler with the presence of mind to get up and get him out of bounds, too? Easily, they could have just sat there and he walks into the end zone. But I just kind of accept. I was like, I can't believe they're going to lose again like that. And then I was just sitting going, well. And then I couldn't believe Belichick wasn't taking a timeout.
That wasn't.
The Seahawks did literally everything perfectly. It was 28 seconds left the last play.
With one timeout.
One timeout.
From the 2 yard line, you could run it.
Even if you miss it and you got one timeout,
with
boom.
Arguably the best running back in the league.
Yeah. No, he is the best running back
plays.
In the league.
Three plays.
I think that's the guy.
I wish I'd seen it, but
there's
no one
you want more than Marshawn Lynch on the 1 yard line.
I like that this is talking into the fake sports talk show that I always do at the beginning of the podcast.
See, I feel like I'm going to feel guilty the whole time because Mike, you're not a football guy.
No, we're going to. I watched it though.
Listen, we're going to get the Katy Perry. We're going to get to dead kids in commercials.
How many times I ruin people's conversations by bringing in wrestling and comic books.
I can hang, man. I like how peaceful this is without Lewis. Everyone's
I was going to say, the same way Lewis talks about MMA with everything he does, this is what Lawrence does with wrestling. He kind of brings it around a little bit.
Instead of sitting here going, all right, fucking Super Bowl, we get it.
The Super Bowl is Saturday night with Nick Diaz.
Yeah, let's talk Anderson Silva. Instead, Lawrence's like, no, guys, talk about it. I watched it.
The whole world is wrapped up in the game, I feel like.
It was interesting because... To me, that ending, how it happened, I just wanted to Seattle lose as a 49ers fan.
Yeah,
I just want Seattle to lose.
Look, was I more impressed that Idina Menzel made a recovery from that awful New Year's Eve performance to showing she could hit the high notes again? Yeah. But I liked the game.
If you want to take it down that road, she's the one that did the national anthem.
Uh-huh.
But she did let it go during New Year's Eve and didn't hit that F sharp, I believe, and people fucking ripped her apart for it.
See, this is like the sports of the music world.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like, she's missed. She's overrated.
I saw people ripping her apart today, saying that she didn't do a good job of the national anthem. Watching it last night, I was like, that was fucking great. Yeah.
I didn't really hear it. My team's in it. All the other stuff.
Yeah, you're not worried about that. Yeah, you're not jerking off.
My question with the internet is, can you do anything right?
No.
That's exactly
right.
Can you do anything 100% right?
I also got to say, I'm more Lawrence here in terms of wrestling. Super Bowl is the only football game I watch every year. I don't know anything else about what's happening.
And that's fine. And I'll explain to you why I wanted to talk to Joe so bad about it is because when one of your closest friends' favorite team is in the Super Bowl, it's crazy. Because
fascinating.
Because 2 years ago, when the Niners played the Ravens, it was like I wanted to talk about it with everybody for 3 hours when they lost at the end.
And that game is so unbelievable and fascinating. And here's the thing I wanted to talk about publicly. There's never been an interception in the history of football, a clean interception without a tip or an offensive player dropping it, where the quarterback has gotten less blame.
Yeah.
Everyone's blaming Pete Carroll. If he completes the pass, nobody's talking. It's a because side note going, I can't believe they threw a pass, but they won.
There's no way that should have been a fucking pass.
But isn't that kind of like you instead of going for the run? I mean, look, watching it, you're like, why don't you make this guy run, right? But if you think the other team knows you're going to run it, why not try to throw it you're faking out the fucking, you know what I mean?
Obviously, it's easy to call it the worst call ever, but... He had plenty of good reasons. First of all, I mean, Pete Carroll knows more than I do about football, so I'm just repeating what he said. Patriots have their goal line defense in. They got three receivers out there.
Yeah.
They have a rookie from West Alabama playing over here.
But
it's a quick slant pass. 1 yard. Nobody's expecting them to pass. The defense is not expecting them to pass. If it's an incomplete pass, they got two more plays to run it with Marshawn Lynch. If it's a complete pass, they win the Super Bowl. The only thing that can happen is a guy makes a pretty... Un-fucking-believable
play. Yeah, but why even take that risk?
Because you probably have six fucking Patriots looking at Marshawn Lynch. There's probably that whole side is waiting for him to run.
Yeah.
I'm just saying those are the thoughts of why you would.
This is turning into a sports radio talk show.
I don't care.
I will say is this, but why not try to run it with Lynch, take the timeout, then take the shot at the end zone?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I am speaking solely from a man from Canada who does not even really care about football.
Why not go for a rouge?
I'm looking.
Can't you go for a rouge in this situation?
Why is this field so short?
I just mean,
I'm just looking at both sides. All I wanted was an entertaining game. Got that. That fucking game was great.
What I loved this morning was all the reaction videos of Patriots fans watching. The first half is Patriots fans going nuts, like, you fucking god! And then watching Seattle fans be like, oh. And then I just fast forwarded to the halfway point.
See,
so
I was rooting for the Patriots because I did some shows in Seattle around Christmas.
I saw a tweet about this and I completely agreed with it.
Nothing is more uncomfortable than a town like Seattle trying to like football. It's not who you are.
It's true. I say it's
uncomfortable.
Like,
it is because the hotel that I stayed at was where the Rams were staying at.
Okay.
Got to see the son of Road Warrior Animal. That was cool.
Yeah, James Laurinaitis.
Yeah.
James Laurinaitis.
And but it was like, and even like some of the people who were also in the hotel were, you know, like playfully like yelling at them and stuff, or like booing them, and it's like, this is not who you guys are. That I expect that from New England. I expect that from Boston
or Pittsburgh.
That's who Boston is.
Yeah.
That's not who Seattle is.
I always say it's like watching Seattle get into football is like watching American grown-ups get into Premier League soccer, where you're like, why did you do this? Yeah.
The only reason you didn't grow up liking this.
Something's going on over there. Seattle
should be wearing a football jerseys to cover up their heroin marks.
Yeah.
And that's fucking it. And it's like the colors are tacky.
It looks like it looked neon.
All right, can I say
does
I
it
like
look
the
like
colors?
A trapper keeper.
Yeah, because it looks like a Canadian Football League team.
I like the colors.
Yeah,
when they came
the
out,
worst
I was like,
colors,
look at that green.
Colors.
They almost are a Canadian League football team. They're
What's
like
that?
60 miles away.
Yeah.
They are Canadian
League. Might as well be the Vancouver Seahawks.
This is a stupid question, I'm sure, but how long have the Seattle Seahawks been a team?
I think since the
3 years.
No.
Oh, they've been a good team.
I think early '80s, maybe. Yeah, early '80s, late
'70s. Okay.
I'm not sure. That was their third Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They lost.
I kind of wanted for that kid, the quarterback for the Seahawks. This would have been his. This is third
second
or second Super Bowl in 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fucking amazing.
What's the network that has Sterling Sharp on it? Is that CBS or whatever network?
Yeah, that's CBS.
All they went down a breakdown.
Shannon Sharp.
Yeah.
NFL Network.
They went down. Oh, yeah, it was NFL Network then. Yeah. It was Sterling. They went down. It was NFL Network. They went down and picked advantage for each team. All four guys on that network gave the quarterback advantage to the Seahawks. I fucking laughed out loud.
Yeah.
Could we, as my friend Derek said, pump the brakes on Russell Wilson a little bit?
Yeah.
Dog shit in the NFC Championship until
one of
the
last
worst 5 minutes.
And by the way,
dog shit and very mediocre in the Super Bowl,
the three
including
passes,
a pick to end the game.
The three passes he threw in the NFC Championship were basically Hail Marys.
Right, exactly.
All three of them.
Exactly.
Tom Brady goes in, has the most completions in the first half of a quarterback, breaks Joe Montana's record for Super Bowl touchdowns.
8 for 8 in the game-winning
drive. And then has by the way, the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history, making him the greatest quarterback of all time.
Four championships. I mean, Russell Wilson.
The most was 7 points in the fourth quarter by the 49ers and the Bengals. This was
they
10
did 10,
points.
Yeah.
That's not the biggest comeback, though.
Fourth quarter comeback.
Fourth quarter comeback.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, right.
But yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson, a little overrated.
And here's the thing.
By the way, someone had a good tweet. That pick saved them so much money.
Oh, yeah.
He would have been asking for so much money.
But here's
the
thing. He already earned a Super Bowl, so he's going to get the $120 million.
Oh, two. I had another point. So at the end of the first half, there's 6 seconds left. Everyone's saying the Seahawks should kick. I'm saying they should kick. Of course, I'm rooting for the Patriots, of course. I'm like, they should kick. It's a crazy gamble throwing that ball with 6 seconds left. They complete the pass. He's a genius. They get the extra 4 points. If they just kicked, if fucking, what's his dose? Pete Carroll doesn't do that. They're down 8, and they have to score a touchdown and 2-point conversion at the end of the game. But because they execute, nobody questions it. They just go, brilliant call, throwing that pass. If the players execute, nobody questions it. Maybe it's a footnote. If Russell Wilson completes that pass, Seahawks win, they go, wow, it's crazy that they threw, but they did it. But he's a genius. Everyone was thinking run. They threw.
I got to give him credit, though. He did that fourth quarter drive when he drove him down there. He did complete a nice pass to Marshawn Lynch. For 30-something yards. Right. They got that lucky Hail Mary catch, but you need
Hail
that.
A lucky Hail Mary, and that catch is a little wheel route where a linebacker is covering the best running back. They get a mismatch.
He still got it, though.
He got it. But let's not start
he
going.
He dropped it in there.
He's not overrated because he completed a fucking mismatch and then an unbelievable Hail Mary.
And also...
And then an interception.
I just think he's clutch.
Do you think Brady should have got the MVP? Or do you think it should have gone...
I think Brady should get the MVP. He was perfect in the almost perfect in the fourth quarter. He was perfect on that final drive. He threw four touchdown passes, 350 yards. He had that one bad pick. One pick was obviously all picks were bad, but that was a great
play. The first pick was terrible.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
But
second pick was just a good play.
Yeah. I mean, if Butler won, I mean, I would have been fine.
Who
with
won?
That.
Brady won.
Brady
right?
got the
yeah.
MVP.
Yeah, he won. Yeah.
Could have given it to Edelman too, but I mean, Brady was pretty unbelievable.
All right, so that's the football part.
I don't want to say this again.
I want to go a little more, though.
I got so many more points.
I know you're like a fired up guy.
Mike, you can get in on this. How about the penalty, the fucking unsportsmanlike, where the guy pretends to take his pants off and shit on the ball?
I didn't see that.
Show it for a second. That's what the penalty was. It's the camera's panning, and they show him taking his pants down.
And he dropped
it behind him? It cuts away, and they never show a replay. Because
which team?
Baldwin.
Yeah.
Real class act, this Seahawks team.
The anger that this is showing is the exact anger I will have when Eddie Redmayne wins the Oscar.
There you go. Let's keep it going, because I like it, because as a Niner fan.
He was pretty good.
Terrible.
Hold on.
That's all he fucking did.
How happy are you, though?
It's getting scatterbrained. It's getting scatterbrained. Let's move this fucking ship forward.
I have too much guilt. We have
better than Keaton. Would you say that was better?
Guys, we're talking over each other too much.
We have to go to Oscars and then go back to football. I feel guilty. We got a big nerd over here, for God's sakes.
Stop making me feel like an albatross.
Yeah. Well, I feel bad.
That's the nerdiest way to reference.
We got two nerds over here.
You want an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
But now Seattle's—they're not going to re-sign everybody, so there a couple guys are going to lose.
Well, we can't talk off Steve. Okay, we got to talk the game
or
not.
But I'm just saying Dan though, he's happy though. I mean,
my point was this: before we got off on the Oscar binge, which we'll go back to the Oscars.
Before we get to Oscars,
I'm not going that. I'm saying I like Joe's adamant hate of the Seahawks.
Uh-huh. Well, we still got to talk about the commercials and Katy Perry.
There's so many things to talk about.
As a 49er fan, it's great when someone hates your rival, and then it takes a game like the Super Bowl for them to see the shitty parts you see, because you're like, right? Well, it's been there the whole time.
Here's the thing with the Seahawks, just in the Super Bowl. I like their fans, and they all seem like classy fans. They're good people. I love Seattle. It's my favorite city.
It's one of the best cities.
I love it.
I agree with that. I just hate the Seahawks.
I had a great Seattle moment. I was at a coffee shop, and I was like, hey, do you have a trash? And they're like, we don't have a trash. Is that the most Seattle sentence you've ever heard? Yeah. We don't have trash.
Yeah, we just...
You're like, all right.
Why don't you use it as compost?
And then you just look at 20 people who were just displaced from their homes.
Yeah.
I had to fly home with a fucking doily from my cupcake. Anyways, but how about... first of all, they go on record saying Gronkowski is not a good football player before the game. That's sweet. Cam Chancellor. Catches for 68 yards and a touchdown.
Gronk's speech was by far the funniest thing I've ever heard.
He's half a retard.
Oh, he's so funny.
I love that he got up there and he was just like, yeah. Yeah, and you could tell
the team's the best team. This is the best team right here.
They're like, "Hey Gronk, can we get a word?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah." And you're like, "This fucking meathead.
I love him though. What a meathead. So funny.
You know what I love about Gronkowski? He makes it okay to shit on how the retarded the black guys sound.
Yeah,
because Gronkowski's up there, and I'm just talking about what an ape he is. So that makes it cool. When the next black guy comes on, I'm like, this guy sounds like a fucking idiot, too.
Yeah. You really know you rooted for Boston right now.
But if you just talk about how black guy sounds like a retard, you're like, everyone gives you a weird look at the party. But I'm like, Gronkowski, you shit on him first.
He raged so hard last night, I'm sure.
There was a picture
of him. He's a fucking meathead.
Oh, yeah, he's so funny.
If he was on any other team, I would wish death upon him.
The Sherman pick of him watching the interception happen was just like, that was glorious. Sweet. Especially because that's a guy that talks shit. Always when it's too late to rebuttal. He always talks shit when it's like, and he did it too early in the Super Bowl.
What was he doing with the four?
Because he said 24.
Yeah.
He was 24, best corner. He was saying Darrell Revis isn't as good as he is because they threw that touchdown on him, and that's why he kept going. And then he looks like a fucking asshole.
Revis got picked by the umpire, too.
What's that? Yeah.
He got picked by the umpire. It was a great move by who was that Baldwin who caught the touchdown?
Yeah. That was the shitting move, right?
Which cost them,
it's a great move, though. That's a smart move to do.
So a man shit on a ball, because I did not see that last night.
My friend Mike Donovan, the comedian we talk about all the time with the Jeopardy bit, he had a great point. That play is it's a 15-yard penalty, fourth quarter of a tight game. You pretend to take your pants off. You get flagged. The Patriots now return the kickoff to the 38 instead of the 20, which they don't score on that drive, but they have a huge... It shifts the field.
The punting
they
punted.
And so now they have field advantage because...
This guy fucking takes his
5 yard penalty,
15 yard penalty.
Jesus!
So you're kicking now from what do they call it?
For improv.
Yeah. So you're just a. He's
I didn't
a
ask
I got paid last night.
So he's a fucking douche. They come on to say Gronkowski's not that good of a player, which is dumb. And then fucking what's his toes is in the face going 24. He's calling out another player, and then they break out in a fight at the end of the game.
Yeah.
The fight which, is like, just a class act fucking squadron.
Why was
the
fight not really talked about? Because that the last like 30 seconds of that game were fucking.
That last play just overruled.
Well,
everything.
Here's what happened: is that, when they realized that it was done.
Yeah.
They were like, "Fuck this!" And then a couple pushes.
Prison rules.
Gronk took a swing.
Yeah.
Then everyone started swinging.
I don't know.
Was one of the guys said, "You're all playing like a bunch of girls," and then they did what they often do to girls.
Oh, I thought you were going to make fun of the commercial. I was like, that's going to be a perfect segue.
Oh, that fucking, yeah.
Fight like a girl.
You put the domestic violence commercial in the second quarter. Go fuck yourselves.
I missed it.
They put the domestic, the treat women better immediately after
the slap.
A woman is on her knees fucking in Lenny Kravitz's dick. Like, their belly, and then it cuts to like, let's treat women better. And you're like, all right, well.
So can we talk about the commercials?
Yeah, let's talk about the commercials.
Here's what bothered me. Let me just open up my wheelhouse, get back in.
Yeah.
The thing is, the amount of upper class, like, it used to be to me, and I've always watched, I'm not a football guy, but I've watched the Super Bowl. And there was a candy commercial here and a Doritos commercial there, and you know, but that used to be a lot of it. And what I noticed this time, it was mostly, especially in the first two quarters, mostly car commercials.
It was all car commercials.
Lexus. Yeah.
And barely any jokes. Like the lack of humor now.
Well, yeah. You know what it is? It used to be all, like, remember the Bud Bowl? Where they do Bud and Bud Light.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they do fun commercials. I think what happened was Super Bowl commercials became an expectation.
I remember watching the Bud Bowl with my dad while he had his AA chips in his hand.
I think also if you put a puppy in a commercial, I think half the country is going to love it automatically.
I hate the end.
Well, so
the Budweiser.
We had puppies last night. We had two different amputee commercials. One adult amputee, one child amputee.
Two different dads not being there commercials or dad commercials.
Dead kid.
Those were
dead
both kid. Windows too. Both the amputee ones for whatever reason. Windows.
Yeah. And then this McDonald's hugging commercial. What the fuck?
I want to do a sketch. You do that in like the McDonald's over here at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
and like call your dad.
Well, that's what I was going to go to Lawrence about. You were an employee of McDonald's.
Yes.
Is this going to work? Is this going to collapse?
I won't
on
say
itself?
How long I worked at McDonald's, but it was longer than most NFL players play football.
If you
7.5 years.
Yeah. If there was a McDonald's Hall of Fame, you would be a first ballot. A Hall of Famer.
Wow.
Yeah.
And should be tested for concussions also.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that fucking commercial.
Is that a real thing? Are they really going to?
No, it is. It's a real thing. What they're doing is they're, you know, it's like, you know, in the way it's like, you're the millionth customer, yay. Yeah. So it's like, you know, random people as this campaign. They did this, you know, they did this last night, this
Hold
campaign.
Hold on, there's going to be more profiling for this than Stop and Search. When people come in, they're like, "You're beautiful."
And
you're
no, but what they did, a couple weeks ago, they did this other commercial during the Golden Globes, which fucking Redman won, where it was different signs.
You keep saying Redman, and I keep thinking of the rapper Redman.
No, he was great.
No,
he was great as Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, amazing Stephen Hawking.
He's like, "What's up, fam? Brick City." I'm like, "Oh, I didn't."
What type of acting did you do? Method Man.
Yeah.
But the signs. Did you see the signs commercial a few weeks ago?
What's that?
Where it was like they played a children's chorus version of the fun song Carry On while there were different you know, like how they have the sign outside like a million serve.
Yes, I know exactly what you're
like,
talking about. When it said like
remember 9/11, yes. Keep Boston strong.
Yeah,
so they're doing they did that and they did this, which is all tied to the same thing of McDonald's, we care.
Yeah.
Just fucking pay your employees a decent wage.
Here's what I noticed. I was watching the Super Bowl with my buddy yesterday. We noticed that all of the most positive messages came from the worst products.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola, which is just basically poisoned with bubbles. And it's like, hey, everybody, be nice on the internet. And then we're all nice. You're like, all right, thanks, toxic drink.
Yeah.
And then McDonald's is like, love each other. You're like, that's not real food.
Or the Doritos commercial that doesn't recognize that all airplanes have assigned seats and that they're fucking dicks if you try to sit somewhere else.
Yeah. I was thinking that too. I was like, this isn't a bus.
I don't know. That could have been Southwest.
I thought that was a pretty funny commercial, though, as far as the commercials went. At least it was jokes.
I like the
Kia. Okay.
The
Kia
nerd commercial. The nerd commercial was funny.
Which was the Kia one?
The hot chick walks by and licks his face, and the next day she just puts the Doritos on his dick.
Oh, that's funny.
I missed that.
I didn't even see that. I missed so many commercials.
Kia was Pierce Brosnan. He was in a meeting, and somebody.
That was 5 minutes after Liam Neeson.
But it was great, though.
You can't do both.
Pierce looks good.
I'm going to throw this in there. The Katie Couric Brian Gumbel commercial was the best one.
That was great.
That was a good
By the way, how hot is Katie Couric still?
Still got
fucking still but now, oh
here's
God.
But here's the thing. So you see Thurline. You have that commercial. You had the Pete Rose commercial, the Liam Neeson. You had the fucking one with Steve Buscemi. And
you had Bryan Cranston.
Yeah. And it's like that whole thing, like, look who they got. Like, yeah, they just paid them money. It's not impressive.
Brosnan was great. That was a good commercial, though. But what's up with the tree? Sniper? No.
Wait, here's what's
That's
happening.
Hilarious.
Yeah. I've been pro comedy blog on this podcast, but I kind of scares me that this is the only humor that we have left that we're willing to show for 100 million people at a time. It's nostalgia, and you know there was nothing that was offensive, nothing that like made you think.
Yeah.
And it
awful.
Used to feel like there was on some levels, or at least laugh out loud funny shit.
There would always be three or four commercials every Super Bowl where you're like, that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really funny commercial. And I think you're right. And I think you're starting to see that, especially in like network sitcoms. Everything is just dumbed down to the point where you're like, wait, who watches this? And then you're like, 100 million people
there.
That's
the problem. It's the middle of America. I don't think it is.
Because you go, here's the thing. Here's why I disagree. While people say it's middle of America that's watching this shit, I think it's everywhere. I don't think it's just middle of America.
You could find Big Bang Theory Bazinga shirts in every comic
in
shop.
In fucking Seattle, in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But middle of America lets you say anything.
It's
the liberal fucking left LA and New York. That's the problem. And I'm a liberal, but it makes me sick, PC shit. I hope they all fucking die.
Midwest is the best comedy crowds. Because they fucking care. They let you perform. Whereas San Francisco, Portland, there's a lot of cities where they're like, oh, any sense of mean or any sense of, oh. And I think that's why the Big Bang Theory is just everywhere. It's just seeped in.
It's the fake baby in American Sniper. You're not supposed to question it. You're just supposed to just watch it and go, this is good.
Not nearly enough people are talking about that. I read a thing about it that the baby was sick.
We're going to talk about that, too.
I saw this movie. I didn't see this.
The baby was sick, and then the backup baby something. Did you read about it?
Yeah, Clint
and also the budget was how many millions of dollars? Get a fucking baby.
Oh, no, I agree.
He should have gone like this. I think Eastwood should have pulled out like a fucking wad and been like, go get me a baby. Well, like, go down to the street.
So Eastwood looks more like a baby than that baby does.
So there was supposed to be a real baby, but they got a fake baby to play a baby?
And it is
bananas.
So jarring. And it's more.
You can tell it's a fake baby.
Yes.
We laughed out loud. Sarah and I laughed out loud. And then everyone's looking at us like we fucking hate the true kid to baby. It's like, you can't.
Let's get into this. Hold on, because we're going to keep jumping into these subcategories. Yeah, but this is a subcategory I always want to know. Why is it, if it's a movie or anything about the troops, if you find a problem with it, you're anti-troops?
Here's a great thing that I heard on Mar. Yeah. I know everyone that listens to the show probably hates Mar, but it was a good point. 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, you could make fun of troops, soldiers. There was Sergeant Bilko and Gomer Pyle.
And it was because you were supporting them.
Right. There was all this stuff. Now, if you did a sketch where troops are fucking idiots and goofing around falling down the stair or whatever the fuck it is, people would be outraged.
Dude, I had a joke on was it Seth Meyers that they wouldn't let me do, because the basic gist of the joke is that I'm on stage and I say, like, I had the worst job of anyone here and no one could top it. And this guy goes, I did 3 tours in Afghanistan. And I was like, I worked at McDonald's for 7.5 years. And then this woman in the back yells out, Wendy's for 18, bitches. And then the soldier salutes us both.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
And
that's hilarious.
Their note was, nothing with soldiers. And that was it.
It's amazing. And they talk about the reasoning on there, but I can't remember the reasoning because I was too busy being like, oh, that's a good point. But I think it's more we were more at one with the troops, what we were doing, I guess.
Do you think World War II was a draft, you had to go. Now it's people sign up.
World War II, we kind of look at it like, oh, you're
fucking brave for signing up.
World War II, it felt a lot more like evil. There's evil people taking over the world. We have to stop
Vietnam.
That was a real
draft. Yeah, it was a draft, though. You had to go. If you didn't go,
It was also they already killed like how many millions of Jews, and then the Japanese attacked us, and then we're like, we have to go.
But. Right. Exactly.
But I don't know what it is exactly. But
just imagine a truck driver listening to this podcast like, I want Bobby back!
Hate me being on the captain's chair.
There's also a thing like, if you, with movies, and this isn't even about troops, because
you really are
the
Commander Riker to his Picard.
Like, it's the same. If I think Selma sucks, people are like, oh, you don't think black people should be able to vote?
Yeah.
And then if I think American Sniper sucks, they're like, you don't support the troops? I'm like, weird. No, the movie sucks. What do you want me to do?
It's weird that our movies are becoming our history books.
Of course.
Yeah. Where they're like, oh, you didn't like that movie, then you didn't like that historical event.
Well, the Selma movie, I thought they did a Martin Luther King movie already.
No.
Like three of them? They do them?
No, they didn't do like a big one yet.
No. No, Denzel did a Malcolm X movie.
And I completely...
Those are good people, Chris.
And I agree with you, Joe. And the thing is that where people are like, oh, Selma was snubbed and all that. One, it did get nominated for Best Picture. Two... It wasn't the best directed movie of the year. I think the actor got snubbed. I thought he was great.
Yeah,
he was David Oyelowo was commanding, but her directing wasn't that awesome. And it's also it used to be like in the 90s, black filmmakers were making movies about what was happening to them. Now you had Do the Right Thing. Well, that was 89. You had fucking Boys in the Hood, and now it's like, remember?
Yeah.
While kids are dying in the fucking streets.
Yeah, there's no movies about Chicago or there probably will be a Ferguson movie in the next.
You
got
to give
years.
Like 5 to 7 years.
You got a little breathing room.
Can't
breathing room.
But who saw Fruitvale Station versus who
which was
saw
great?
Selma? Yeah, yeah,
that was a fucking fantastic movie. But
it feels like if you criticize the movie, you're criticizing
the historical event,
the war, the soldiers.
If you're like, I didn't like Schindler's List, they're like, I can't believe you're four.
There is a scene in an American Sniper, and this isn't spoiling anything, because it really did feel like Team America at times.
First of all, I think we can spoil it. 150 million people saw it the first fucking night.
Oh yeah,
I think we can say anything we want.
It's also a true story, and I mean, yeah, that you know, this
well,
is, yeah,
it's based on a true story.
Well, yeah, based on a true story.
This is a guy who lost a lawsuit to Jesse Ventura.
Did he lose the lawsuit?
Yeah, he did. Oh, yeah.
What lawsuit was it?
A libel lawsuit, because he wrote about him in his book and said they got in a fight. And I took him down like how they took down the towers. I'm no Adomian, but...
That was pretty good, though.
Yeah,
that was a pretty damn good...
WWF.
Yeah,
I've been watching... McMahon.
Yeah. Those are all both great... By the way, that was a great Ventura.
I can only do the W because I stole it from Adomian. WWF.
But no, an American Sniper... So there's this scene at the beginning where young Chris Kyle... his dad is giving him a speech where he goes, there's three types of people in this world. There's wolves, there's sheep, and there's sheepdogs. It is the identical speech to pussies, dicks, and assholes.
It's
the same thing.
And assholes just want to shit on
And another thing, that really bothered me about it is that when you see like Eastwood made Letters from Iwo Jima, right? And in that movie, you know, he's showing the Japanese and they're speaking in subtitles. None of the Iraqis ever get subtitles in this movie.
Really?
No. It's literally Durka Durka Muhammad Jihad.
I want to see this fucking movie now.
Oh, you haven't seen it? Well, also, you'll love this. So
By the way, there's no way you guys have damaged this to the point where I'm going to walk in and be like, well, this is ridiculous.
Well, there's the Iraqi...
Durka Durka the whole time.
The Iraqi sniper is such a goofy character, and there's a scene with like the camera.
He puts
like,
a turban on in slow motion.
Yes, he puts a turban on, and it looks like a scene from like Cobra.
Rambo.
And it's like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And it's he's like an 80s villain. You're like, this is so much
He's up on the roof. He's like, they're all gone. They're all gone. And Raven, he worked at the car wash. He came back from Fallujah different. They're gone.
It's such an amazing story. In the hands of like Scorsese, or not that he would do that kind of movie, but a better director, I feel like, would
be
great.
Well, they were
great.
Supposed to have Spielberg do the movie. I listened to Bradley Cooper on Howard Stern. They said Spielberg was signed on, going to do it. And the last minute, contracts went out the window. And then Clint Eastwood popped in and was like, I'll do the movie for that press. Yeah.
How about I do it, but I do it way American. Well, I'll do it the most American.
And then Chris Kyle said...
Can I say nip? I want to say nip. I like saying
we're not
nip.
Even fighting
Asians. Chris Kyle said...
I'm going to say nip. I'm going to call the Iraqis nips, if that's cool.
Chris Kyle said he wanted Eastwood to direct the movie when he was alive. So then Bradley Cooper was like, all right, well, I'm going to have Eastwood then.
Yeah.
Well, and what's fascinating, too, is that it's like, because depending on where you watch it in the country, I'm sure it's getting applause at the end. But this is...
Let's try to guess where it gets the biggest applause. I would say...
Texas, for sure.
Okay.
Texas.
I think that's the easy pick.
Branson,
I'm going to go...
Missouri.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was going to say Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
But now the fascinating thing is like... and this is part of why I think it's a bad movie, is that, you know, in real life, the guy, you know, Chris Kyle got shot by a fellow veteran that he was helping. That's your movie.
Yeah, that's
crazy. The story to me.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. And just, that's written in the afterthought at the end.
It's unbelievable that they just skip over that because it's such a fascinating part of the
story.
And
it could have really dealt with PTSD and how these guys are afflicted with
it. But these movies are supposed to be like, hey, the Army's great. We're all heroes. Be a hero.
And this they're supposed to be that if that's what you want to make them.
Yeah.
If you want to make
those will make the most money.
I think they're right. I don't know if you guys remember that infamous Marine commercial where he fights a lava monster, but that's what I thought.
And then ends up at the top of a mountain.
Yeah.
When he just, you know.
And then he's in full uniform and white gloves.
Yeah.
By the way, Michael Ironside, great as the lava monster in that.
Yeah.
But no, what's fascinating, though, is like, and then you look at like Selma, where it's that same thing of the easy clap, where it's like, yeah, you could make the movie about them fighting for the right to vote, and they did it. Why don't you make the fucking movie about how most people don't vote because they're disenfranchised with a broken system?
So it sounds to me like American Sniper and Selma, if they were comedians, they would be going for that easy clap where they're like,
they're hacks.
Hey, yeah, they're hacks, where it's like, hey, men and women are different. Like, that's what basically. American
Sniper.
Let's
give it up for the ladies.
Let's give it up for the troops. Yeah, I'll clap it up for the troops.
Look, they made Kilstein, but you don't remember it the next day.
Yeah.
That's why they make $100 million. American Sniper is Jeff Dunham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just fucking dumb.
And he does fight Ahmed.
And I was going to say, I think Ahmed's got a little more soul to him than the Iraqis they sound
like.
Can we
admit that Jeff Dunham profited off 9/11 more than anybody?
He's like, he went down, he's like, I've got an idea. As the dust was settling, I've got an idea for a puppet.
He just sees the towers falling, and he just starts like
the slow mo, putting the turban on.
Who benefits?
And that's the thing. And again, like I want to. I'm not anti-troop or whatever. I'm not even getting into political.
I'm not anti-ventriloquists.
I thought the movie stinks.
Not anti-puppets.
You really love movies, and you have like great opinions.
Here's the thing, list.
I thought it was a good movie.
By the way, I shouldn't say it's. I mean, I enjoyed the movie. I sat there and enjoyed. I wasn't like, this is horseshit. I thought it was bad. I also think Clint Eastwood's the most overrated director ever. And just so I don't piss off everybody, Spike Lee to me is the number two most overrated director. So
yeah, we could.
It's all political.
Who else do you want to piss off, Joe? One more. Come on.
There you go. The left and the right can be upset.
I don't know if it was
come
you.
Come on, you bull.
I'm trying
come
to think on, who bull. Said it to me, but they were like.
And I hate Michael Moore.
American Sniper, Clint Eastwood. They go, I forgot who I was talking to. It might have been you. And you're like, that's either going to be the best movie or the worst movie. Yeah. Because something like that, you either are like, oh, it's so well done in the way it was layered, or you're like, oh, it's just a propaganda film.
Yeah, that's the thing. I thought I was getting the guy who directed Jersey Boys earlier this year, and I did, and that's the problem.
Right, exactly. Jersey Boys is probably the biggest piece of shit ever.
I didn't see the movie. Was it awful?
It's fucking wild really how bad it is.
Because I saw the play.
Here's the thing.
The play was phenomenal.
All the lead actors, they're from the play, they're like 37, and they start off the film as boys.
They're like, I got three bank loans out.
Did you guys just say that Clint Eastwood directed Jersey Boys?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Didn't know that until right.
Yeah, you walk like a man because you are one.
Because you have a mortgage. That's why you walk like a man.
I love Unforgiven, but other than that, I think that
Million Dollar Baby's fucking overrated.
Dude, Million Dollar Baby.
Way overrated.
Mystic River's overrated.
Guys, we're just shitting on one of the great American heroes here right now. Come on.
Guys, stop getting
Hillary Swank.
Deepu, what's up?
Gran Torino is one of my favorite movies.
That movie is so bad.
Really? I think Clint's been beat believe. Off to that.
Yeah. I can't believe people like that movie.
It was hilarious how much
Deepu was
how
scared
how
of liking
racist.
It.
Like he was just so racist in that movie, just at a comical level.
It's almost like it was like your racist uncle's nap that he woke up for. He's like, Nip, Spain, God, I help him. I learned to like him.
You guys didn't like Million Dollar Baby?
I liked Million Dollar
Baby.
I
like Million Dollar Baby.
For what reason? For what reason?
Dude, your opinion just slipped on its neck and
you're
went
not American, Nate. You don't matter right here. So
I liked Million Dollar Baby.
That was
outrageously overrated.
But I do.
That was good.
I liked it too, Scopo. I'm sticking with you.
I mean, I'm not putting it in the top
I'm
thing
Morgan
that ever was made,
Freeman,
but it was
good. And I'm acting like every black person in the 1930s.
And
there's holes in my side.
All right, so we're just trying to find the problem with every movie.
Well, Million Dollar Baby, I will say this. It did give me the correct analogy for Kelly Festuca, which is the kid that hangs out at the boxing gym and then gets beat up too bad.
Danger. You're talking about danger.
Danger. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say she was the stool that Hillary Swank's.
No. I mean, I can talk about movies I love. I think,
and I miss
you know,
it, Kevin.
No Country for Old Men and Goodfellas are like flawless movies. Boyhood's a masterpiece.
You like Foxcatcher a lot? Yeah.
I like Foxcatcher
a lot. Foxcatcher was great.
You didn't think Boyhood went on a little too long?
No, it's fantastic.
You know what I watched the other night? The Imitation Game. with the Enigma.
Yeah.
It was a really good movie. I didn't see that. It was a really good movie.
It feels like an HBO movie. It's definitely not.
They're getting
it
to the
shouldn't
end.
Be the Oscars.
Yeah, they're getting to the end of those World War II stories.
We're getting way off topic. Dead kid in a commercial.
Okay.
Joe hates America.
Fuck with you. Joe, first off, cannot go to any VFWs in the Pacific Northwest.
I kill at VFWs. I've been to Iraq twice, goddammit.
Can you imagine if you had just lost your kid and you watched that? You're just watching the Super Bowl to have a good time.
Like your kid died in a car accident on Saturday and you're like,
wow, let me escape for 4 hours of my life.
Let me have some beers.
What a hilarious parent. My kid died yesterday. Let me just wash that away with a couple of beers.
No, by the way,
that's not
inaccurate at all. If you have a great loss, I bet the next day you're like, let me just fucking watch something.
Of course.
Yeah. Let me watch something to get my mind off. That's not being a shitty parent. They're probably like,
that's what football's
fuck,
for.
This it's sucks. And then you see the Nationwide commercial, you're like, why would you do that?
What was this commercial? Because I might have missed this thing.
So it's a little boy and he's pretending. And he's talking about flying and he's like, I'm never going to be able to get married. I'm never going to be able to fly in a plane. And then it shows him, he's like, I'll never be able to go to college because I'm dead. And then it just shows a bathtub overflowing.
And then Nationwide is on your side.
Yeah.
Are you?
I did see that commercial.
And it just goes into, there's children die in home accidents. Ugh. And they gave stats.
The Kia commercial was better than that. I mean, Pierce Brosnan, you know what I mean?
I would have watched the Pierce Brosnan commercial 20 times.
Does the building explode?
So
no.
Good.
In fact, my favorite meme of the entire Super Bowl was that little boy, and above it said, I would have gave Marshawn the ball, but I'm dead.
That was so funny.
Like, God damn, that's the best.
So thing. Funny.
That kid found a way to be more depressing than the pores on Danny Trejo's face.
Yeah. That was great, too. I love
great
that
acting,
Snickers.
Though, by the kid.
Man.
But it's also, it's like, look, Steve Buscemi's back. He's like, I just did a show for 60s.
Are we, we're just letting advertisers now go right for the fucking death blow?
Well, that's only at Super Bowl times, right? I mean, you don't see that usually during the year.
This is where it starts. You start letting them do it at the Super Bowl, and people are marrying animals.
They also paid, like, what, $4 million to have that happen?
How much was it? $4 million for 30 seconds?
I think so.
I was told because the party that I was at, one of my friends, his girlfriend, wrote on one of the commercials that aired in the fourth quarter, and that was $4.7 million.
Jesus.
Someone had a good tweet. Someone from L.A. said, Super Bowl isn't fun in LA because every actor watching parts they didn't get.
I just think that was like,
I could have been that dead kid.
I think it's back to the advertising. It's not funny. It's not fun. It's not light. It's all just serious shit now.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
because if you try to do anything funny, there's fucking 50 blogs about it.
But people,
I'm going to get in trouble for my Gronkowski black guy thing.
Which I think is a very good analogy.
I think you're going to get in more trouble for hating America, Joe.
Yeah.
I don't hate America.
For criticizing
the
best sniper.
If
movies.
You're going to put in the $4.7 million, why would you take the risk?
Yeah, but also that thought is like, where are we going artistically? People wonder why SNL isn't what it was in the 70s and 80s. It's because they can't take
the
risk.
So that brings us to, I think, Katy Perry, which... Yeah. Now, this is my thought on
her godless tiger. I love that someone tweeted that out.
It felt like more of a lion, slash griffin. Yeah.
Okay. I missed it. I was playing video games.
It's like a tiger lion.
You motherfucker.
It was great.
I watched the second half of it. Now, I saw her when she was dancing with Missy Elliott. Thought that was great.
I did win two bets saying that she'd close on Firework. But you know what it is? Like, she literally is, like, that halftime show was the performance we deserve and not the one we need, where it was literally... It was 12 perfect minutes of inoffensive spectacle of like it literally just bombarded you with lights and colors.
Yeah, it really.
It was a light bright. It was like it's
like a brave new world.
Can I
They're
say,
just giving us like easy
you know,
shit.
You know what it felt like to me? It felt and I like some of Katy Perry's songs. It felt like the video a parent puts on when they don't want to be with their kid and they walk out of the room.
Yeah, it's like, watch the lady. And then they go light a joint in the back and they're like, this fucking thing.
And don't ask why the beach balls only have one tooth.
Yeah, why is that?
Also, the Throw Like a Girl commercial. Girls throw poorly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, so don't say negative stuff. I'm all for progress with women and empowering
equal
them,
pay. I'm fine with all of it.
You don't throw as well as me. You
Guess
throw
what?
Like a girl.
Your hips are stronger than ours, and our upper bodies are stronger than yours.
It's also, just, if they had...
Not my hips.
If they had the same commercial, but it was like, throw like a man, and it was women doing it, they'd be like, I'm going to throw a button.
You know what, though? Our version of those are the NFL domestic violence things.
To me,
that's their version of throw like a girl
to
commercials.
Me, it's
like,
just,
I'm
going to
hit a woman.
That guy?
You're off your base here, because, don't make fun of people. What throw like a girl means negative.
Yeah, because you're not as good at throwing. Right. Like, if you said fucking, you know, live a life like a girl, and you were like, I'm fucking stupid. Like, that would be one thing. But it's like, yeah, you throw sillily.
I also love it.
No, silly, whatever. I don't think it's a word.
But I talk also, like a man.
I like to think that
words like that just exist to control the patriarchy.
I like that they blow it up like we treat all women like geishas. Like, they're like, oh, ho. Like, you're just like, this is fucking, it was the worst commercial to have rubbed in your face as a man, where they're like, right, rape culture, and they're like, don't hit women either. You're like, all right, what the fuck did we do? I thought those the commercials that were worse.
It sounded like you were about to say, what am I allowed to do to these women?
They should get in the kitchen. I think the commercials leading up to the domestic abuse one were the most offensive, where everyone's crying.
Where
they
were
like, remember, like, they kept showing them during the NFL games? They're like, ugh. Can you give me a second? And they're like tearing up, and they're like, it's hard to start talking about domestic violence.
I need to see Jennifer Garner trying to hold back tears.
It would have been great if they were doing the fake laugh from Dumb and Dumber, where they're like, yeah, can you give me a second?
Just to go back to Katy Perry for one quick second. I mean,
yeah, sure.
Everybody, we're talking
I'll
about
take that bomb in.
We're talking about lions. We're talking about lots of things. It might have been because I had a couple of drinks, but those fucking dancing sharks were hilarious.
I missed this.
Clapped the whole goddamn time. Yeah. Two men dressed as sharks. Throwing their fins around? I mean, can we just have a little bit of fun?
I mean, it was definitely, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't, that, like, I think the more entertainment like this we get, like, you're not going to be able to love or hate things anymore.
You think they're going right down the middle?
I think the Katy Perry.
Dan Soder style.
I think the Katy Perry halftime performance was the first episode of Hypnotoad. That's what it was.
Lenny Kravitz was on stage for a minute and a half. I wonder how much money he made for that.
Oh, he was on there.
They don't get paid. They don't get paid for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They don't
really?
Get paid?
No, they do it as a promotion. UCB runs the Super Bowl.
I've heard that it's going to get to a point where you end up paying to perform on the Super Bowl. It's going to flip.
I've heard that, yeah.
Like, the artist will pay $1 million.
Like, a record label will be like, here, please fucking put this person
It's a 12-minute commercial of you.
Yeah,
right. That's the way they're going to look at it.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, she had, like, chess pieces and, the fucking sharks and the lion and the More You Know star.
I'm not saying it's the greatest thing that ever happened. I'm just saying those sharks made me laugh. And I know the world is going to be a terrible, fucking, wicked, awful place where things are garbage, but... My God, sometimes you just want to have a good time, and those fucking sharks were hilarious.
I was impressed by how fast she changed every outfit. I was like, wow, that's pretty quick.
I kept doing the, when I started watching it halfway through, I kept doing the Katy Perry heavy breathing thing, where they would cut someone else, and she's like, like, Katie, you're back on. She's like, all right, I'm singing it, like Missy Elliott dancing, like, have her dance a little bit longer. Fucking
I mean,
dying
she
over
more
here.
Than anyone since Madonna is proof, like, there's a machine and it's strong, because vocally she's not great.
Is she not, though? I don't know how
to
judge
that.
She's not really that good.
Really?
No, she's not.
I don't think she was singing a lot last night. I mean, you could tell that she was. A lot of that was sort of lip sync. Right?
Oh, yeah, because it's a performance.
But I don't think I've ever really seen her.
I think she sings well.
Not great.
Let me ask you this. Have we ever seen her sing?
Or
were you just listening to what we're talking about CD-wise when you see her on TV? Has anybody ever seen
this
lady?
I'm saying that there's a group of Swedish guys that are the reason.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not against
Max
that.
Max Martin, chief among them, who they're the fucking stars. They pick these women, they give them their first few fucking hits, and they launch them.
Never disagree, but who made the sharks? Because I want to know who that guy is, and I want to shake his fucking hand because the sharks were great. I'm talking just sharks.
I thought Jimmy Buffett
was coming out when the surfboards.
That would have been great. it's turning into, you're right, it's just turning into a giant promotional machine.
I mean, it always was. I mean, for the most part.
The Pepsi balls at the beginning. I mean, you know, like, everybody holding the
lights. I'm trying to think back when Whitney Houston did the Star Spangled Banner.
91.
Which was lip synced.
Was it?
It's all lip synced.
Yeah.
They don't.
That was
she recorded that before.
They don't let you sing.
And she lip synced that.
It's not like they're the artist. They don't let you sing.
But I don't. I disagree with that. There's people. Hold on. There's been people that have fucked up the Star Spangled Banner live during the Super Bowl.
No, I'm because Christina Aguilera did a couple years ago.
Yeah. Not during the Super Bowl.
I think it was
the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. She fucked up the words.
I know
Whitney Houston, that's a lip sync. She recorded like a day before and then she sang.
But that's her own personal. She was like, I'm going to.
That's her choice. Yeah.
It's not like the Super Bowl goes, no fucking singing on here. Because
there will be absolutely no live singing.
Well, ever since Titty Gate, they're all scared.
Titty Great was great. Just because it made everyone shit the bed.
Yeah.
The next day.
I remember watching that as a 17-year-old with my dad. Like, that just happened?
Regardless of whether or not it was good or not, it made you feel something.
Yeah.
It really just want to fucking feel something.
It's going through. My buddy and I were watching the Super Bowl, we had an interesting conversation of like, where does football go? Because it's getting so fucking big. And there's so many head injuries that eventually, do you think it's the well's going to dry up and rich parents
no,
are going to
No, because the money that gambling spends on football.
So my buddy had a good point. He said, my friend Carlos said that it's going to turn into boxing and only poor people are going to do it because they're going to know about the head injuries. They're going to be like, they're not going to let their kids do
oh,
it.
Oh, no, yeah. Just be a bunch I don't of think there's a lot of Filipinos. Rich kids really playing football that much anymore. Like really, really rich kids.
They play lacrosse, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are the easy sports to play.
Well, that's like the less head injuries, and there's still contact.
The problem is that, you know, football still is a fucking huge money earner if you play. Not as much as baseball. Baseball, a lot of people are playing more because it's safer.
If you had the choice, wouldn't you go baseball over football? The 20-year fucking like, career,
I'm a
little, you're a hero.
I'm not gonna lie, like, Jameis Winston, I'm shocked he's not choosing. He's a good baseball player, too. Like, he's a really good pitcher, and I'm shocked that he's not trying to do
half
baseball.
Half the game you're chilling, just looking at your bank statements.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're there for 15 years.
Yeah, and then you become a hitting coach or some random coach.
And you retire a hero with your brain. You walk the earth
all
spending your billions.
Guaranteed contracts, too, which is crazy.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you think Deflategate is going to mess up this legacy at all?
I don't know. I don't know what the hell. Now they're saying that only one ball was 2 pounds under pressure. The rest of them were a couple of clicks, like a fucking tenth of a thing under the thing. And
was this just something they made up to get more press?
I have no idea what the hell went on. But it's funny because it started off with me being like, boy, it seems like they cheated and it takes away and it's annoying. And then there was so much shit that finally just created an us versus them where I was like, well, fuck all you.
Dude,
I don't
they
care.
Kicked the shit out of the Colts.
Well, that's like, the thing. Does anybody really think that that had an effect? They beat them 49-7, 28-0 in the second half. And they beat the Seahawks. They didn't even touch the football.
But they're saying the Ravens, they were saying the Ravens said, watch, keep an eye out to the Colts about the Bulls. But that game could be used as, oh, you guys cheated that game, because that was a close game.
I don't think anyone's claiming that.
But the Ravens told the Colts. The Ravens did tell the coach, watch out for the Bulls.
I read the Colts figured it out, felt that way.
I read that
the
Titans showed up with a steel chair and took out Flacco. I was just trying to get Lawrence involved because he was looking down. I was
it's
like,
the Titans! Titans, my God!
Son of a bitch!
I don't care if Bill had my face!
Son of a bitch! Is it going to turn into wrestling? Is that what wrestling's
the
going
to be? The Titans have to capitalize on the opportunities presented to them.
It's a Super Bowl in the bank! They got a Super Bowl in the bank!
That would have been great. The Niners show up and play the fucking... they're here!
Open the briefcase and run down.
They're here! And they're all tired from playing a full football game. They're like, this is such a
stop
bad
the concept. Damn game!
Stop the damn
game! The best thing about watching the game last night was like knowing that my wife knows slightly even less than I do about football. She's like, which one, Seattle? And I'm like, what the fuck?
Did you feel like a real man right there?
Do you want to hit it real quick?
Yeah, because then the commercial.
I punch like a girl. Yeah. So.
They show Mike, they're like, how does a girl punch? Like, I don't know. Like, how do you punch? Like, That commercial just bugged the shit out of me. It really.
How about the fact that the special effects in Jurassic Park look so much better than the special effects in Jurassic World 22 years later?
I've said that 1,000 times. They made a fucking dinosaur for the first movie. You can touch it. Sam Neill gets his goddamn hat blown off by a real dinosaur.
Yeah. Well, I don't think movie, it's, by the way,
I know what real means. I'm talking.
It's real to me, damn it.
Yeah, still real to me, damn it. You know what I mean, though. They made a thing, right? Yeah. This movie, not even the gate, which they have. You can go to Orlando.
We're losing Joe List on the dinosaur talk.
You can go to Orlando and find the gate. In the first one, they got a real gate made of wood. This movie, nothing. There's nothing.
Well, maybe they're trying to hide it, though. Maybe they're trying to hide it.
No, Chris Pratt is in a warehouse in Jersey talking to nothing, but he has to pretend that there's raptors.
One scene, wasn't he train the raptors?
Yeah,
raptors?
Like, whoa,
all right, dude,
raptors.
You're not going to fucking train a dinosaur.
I also like the thought that Nate's got the attitude like he just walked in and everything's broken. Like, he's like, what happened? I was gone for 20 minutes. Like, the way he's talking about, you're like, yeah, dude, it's all right.
Look, about this episode is we all found what our trigger points are.
Jurassic World was for me.
What word it takes to piss us off.
And I learned that leading a podcast means you just lead it, and then you're like, all right, have fun, everybody. You set the table. And when I try to go for a joke,
don't let it go
like,
off the rails.
Again, I said, I just wanted a good game of football, and there was that. I love those fucking sharks. I cannot say, that's the last time I'll say it, but God damn it, those sharks were fun. Jurassic World really made me fucking angry.
Me too.
This about the Patriots. I hate the Patriots. They play the best Super Bowls. They play classics.
Yeah, it's always good.
All of them have been classics.
Every one they've been in has been a great one.
Do people just hate Tom Brady because he's good? Is that why?
Of course. I call it the Duke theory. Okay. He's like the way Duke basketball is so good, everyone hates it, is the way the Patriots... Because you remember 2001, everyone loved the fact that the Patriots beat the Rams. But, Plus, it was 2001.
I don't know what it is about our society, but it's some sort of, not society, but maybe it's in us.
when someone is really successful for more than a year, people start to hate him. It's just a blowback. Because
look
to
at him.
He,
everyone's jealous.
It's any
you
team,
motherfucking
though.
Peanut butter and jealous. What does it say? Jealous? The meme.
Oh, man. Where? God damn, I wish I had that bandana. No, that just made me feel so much better for a couple of my bombs earlier. But thank you, Scopo. No,
so because but, I mean, he's a, but the Duke, the Yankees, the Canadian, everyone, people just hate
you know great, Canadian, he's great at football. He's married to the one of the most beautiful women in the world.
We can also say we're all men here. Tom Brady's a beautiful man.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Look at his face. He's not fucked up from football, which you're supposed to be fucked up from. He's fucking talented.
Well, we don't know that.
Yeah, it takes like 15 years after.
Yeah, we could
say
he could fucking shoot himself in the chest in 2030. Oh, goddamn. But I will admit to Joe in the room, which I'm a little mad you didn't like my comment on your status. I agree that Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time.
But
no,
I
don't think
that.
So.
I didn't even say that.
I don't think he is. I think Montana's better than him.
As a 49er fan, I will say I think Bill Walsh is the greatest coach of all time, which we can argue.
But he was all right, so if they run the ball, he loses.
Yeah.
He's 3-3. We having that conversation then?
But that, I mean,
but that still means he got to 6 Super Bowls and Montana got to 4 Super Bowls.
I'm not saying he's not one of the, I think he's probably 2 behind Montana.
That's a crazy argument though, because we'll go back to 07. If Asante Samuel catches the ball that
true.
Eli Manning threw into his hands.
No, I know. You can't
go 19-0.
You can't say it didn't happen because it happened, but like I think Montana was just a little better.
And we're still having the conversation.
I think
as someone that grew up idolizing Joe Montana, I think he benefited from being in the most revolutionary system in the NFL.
And had the best receiver
from 85 on.
And I will say at this point, you should know that the dinosaurs are going to run loose.
Exactly.
Four movies? This park.
Four fucking movies?
Do not remake the park. We did it. Everybody died.
Guys.
Stop doing it.
Well, now the park's open.
Costa Ricans are people, too.
And also, can we not... dinosaurs are scary on their own. Do we have to make a new fucking dinosaur that's... Oh, it
really
knows.
It's
coming for
you. You know what that is? That's the bacon cheeseburger of dinosaur movies. Where they're like, cheese. Burgers are pretty good. Bacon. Meat.
It's the bacon.
You know what it is?
It's the bacon.
The Wendy's bacon.
I got it. It's the pretzel bread.
Yes.
Wait a minute. It's the pretzel bread baconator.
Yes.
With sea salt caramel.
There you go.
This whole thing's out of control.
And avocado on the side.
But Chris Pratt can just control raptors, so who gives a fuck, right? He's just the raptor lord.
Dude, he's fucking Star-Lord.
Makes me so... And his vest is way
too
tiny.
They're pushing him too hard, man.
My favorite part of the
Super Bowl? Way pushing. He's the Roman Reigns of movies.
Okay.
Oh, I like it.
I wouldn't say that. He's Dean Ambrose right now.
This just spiraled into just this fucking pile of.
First of all, can we figure out who
references?
The leader's talking.
Thank you. Wow, that's pretty good. That's how that feels when Bobby does that. I see why he sits in that seat.
I feel powerful in this chair. I'm not going to lie to you.
I start getting temperamental.
I want to fucking throw some shit at people.
I thought I was. Dan was just saying that this thing was going out of control, and I was trying to say a thing to go. You know what I mean? It wasn't like me and him were both screaming pretzel bread and salted caramel. Like,
I show up. I go outside for 5 minutes. I come back in. Everything's ruined.
I will admit the Patriots are the best team of all time. If you'll admit, Boondock Saints isn't a good movie.
Oh, I'll admit that for sure.
Sacrilege!
Have you not heard him talk for the last hour?
Going back to the Brady Montana real quick, I just want to make the point, and I think I ultimately would go with Brady, but people try to make the point that, and this is what I wrote about on my Facebook wall, that like Montana's better, he never lost one. And it's like, well, yeah, but Brady's been to 6.
Well,
he's been
I
four.
Mean,
so that all that means is that Montana's team lost earlier.
He didn't
than the
meet
Super Bowl.
Eli Manning.
Okay, but to,
I
but
got
to
the
play,
exact
but,
analogy.
But
the
to play,
exact analogy.
Hold on for your perfect analogy.
Okay,
but to play as a 49er fan, he also never threw an interception in
that's
a
that's pretty
Bowl.
Good too.
That's fucking awesome.
Okay,
his I think his stats. I mean, he did. Brady has the most Super Bowl touchdowns because he just played in 2 more.
Well,
I think
not
his,
just because he played to 2 more. He was able to get to
no,
two
no, no.
More.
I'm not saying
the perfect analogy.
He's not
Sinbad and Richard Pryor.
Okay.
Sinbad has never bombed. He has said this. He's never had a bad set in his entire life. Richard Pryor went through trials and tribulations, different evolutions and stuff.
So you're saying Tom Brady's Richard Pryor and Joe Montana's Sinbad?
Yeah.
That's the most offensive thing you've
ever
said. I was
going to say, I don't know anything about football, and
you're
I can't
saying
get
Joe
behind
Montana
that.
Wears fucking parachute pants? The man that brought 4 titles to the Bay, and you're going to shit on him by calling him Sinbad? He's easily Carlin. And then if you're going to call Brady fucking Pryor, then Montana's Carlin.
Can I say I saw Sinbad when he was here in the city a couple weeks ago, and it was fucking great.
Yeah, he murdered.
It was awesome.
Sin great.
It was Sin great.
this has been a very fun football-filled...
Not a lot of jokes. Lauren says all the jokes. 100% of the jokes.
Only an hour 9 in.
You're saying like I'm an asshole.
No, I'm saying you're the only longer. One that had jokes. It was a compliment.
We got to get. He's got to leave. Nothing. At 7:30, you got to leave.
7:30ish.
Can we talk Oscars for a sec?
Let's talk Oscars. We'll finish it up with Oscars.
We've alienated everybody already. Anyways,
yeah, I think there's no one in the chat, right, Deepu?
We have 70 people watching us live right
no
now.
No shit.
Wow.
Yeah. How many of those are just computers left on?
Yeah, those are all from my server at home.
Yeah, Deepu's like, I got a bunch of bots.
I'm
watching
trying
this.
To boost the numbers. There,
there's a name for people who go back and forth between talking about football and the Oscars. They're called bisexuals. And they exist.
I like puss, but now I like dick.
Well, I've never had sex with a man, but now I've never met Malcolm Butler in person.
Oh,
so.
You're a real big...
Okay,
you
would
go
you,
black first?
Joe, choice. You have Malcolm Butler right here, or you have Tom Brady right here. Who are you going for?
I think it's clear that I'm going for the white guy.
Yeah, you also forget he's from fucking Massachusetts. So
if it was vacation, maybe Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, I was looking at Giselle's Instagram because she Instagram picture of her and Tom Brady, and then like the pictures of their house is just ridiculous. I get why people hate him.
Yeah.
He's just awesome.
The guy, and he has a dimple chin.
Yeah, he's awesome. His kids are gorgeous.
Your life goes well if you have a butt chin.
Haters gonna hate.
Yeah, they are. Say. Let's talk Oscars.
Okay, so...
You gotta eat those mics, baby.
I think Boyhood should win.
I think it should too.
I thought it was a masterpiece.
It's the most innovative piece
Wasn't
of filmmaking.
The,
this
the movie album. With the started when he was like six.
Yeah, yeah. Filmed it for 12 years.
And this is a guy who's been making great fucking movies.
Linklater's done so many good
for 25 years.
Mike, you may not know this. Chris Scopo's favorite movie.
Okay. National
Drum roll.
Treasure.
Oh, I want to do a big moment. National Treasure.
Well, first off,
it's the best movie.
One of my favorite movies. It's probably
the only
it's
way
up
that
there.
Could be
it's
your favorite
there.
Movie
it's
is
there.
If it's the last movie you watched with your dad before he died.
And then we can make
he's
a commercial
alive.
Out of it
he's
for the
still,
next
he's
Super Bowl.
Still alive, but you know what? I remember the feeling I had watching that movie, and I was like, "What's going to happen?" When I was 14 years old. You know what? I'm sticking to that fucking point.
You should watch The Silence of the Lambs.
My father,
it's a very good movie.
My father said he was going to meet me outside the Regal to take me to Book of Secrets, and it still hasn't happened yet.
No, but they are making a third one.
How excited are you?
I'm just saying, if we're going to
talk... first
in
line.
If we're going to talk
Joe,
Oscars...
Joe, you got to come with me, because we're roommates now.
If we're going to talk Oscars, the guy whose favorite movie is National Treasure has to sit out the conversation. I'm sorry.
Yeah, or we talk Razzies.
Everybody here saw Boyhood?
Yeah. Yes.
I've seen it five times already. I love it.
I didn't. Freddy I saw all the other fucking movies. I didn't see it.
Boyhood.
Wait, if you see it five times, you're just watching a child's life. You're a butterfly.
I love it.
Oh, look at him growing. Oh, look at that Adam's apple.
I mean, but as someone from without dads in their life, you know.
Oh, this is a very
he
dadless...
said he was going to come to the wedding. It's just he forgot last minute.
It's a very dadless section over here.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Well, that's why I looked at Mike first. I was like, yeah, because we both know.
Well, Nate's got
But
nothing.
He has a great dad in Boyhood, though.
You don't have a dad either? Oh, dude.
My dad's still alive.
We're dadless strong on
My
this.
Dad's alive, too.
All right, there. So he's I'm a little wilderness. Dead dad? All right. Yeah.
You can never you can never call your dad and say what up.
Also, it sounds like the dad in Boyhood's like a terrific father.
Ethan Hawke?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. Very strikingly strikingly similar to my dad. Almost to the point where I was watching this, I was like, I felt like he lifted some of that from my own life. Like when he's like, let's go to the Astro games. That was my dad being like, let's go to the Giants games. I'm like, all right, cool. When I'm in San Francisco, I'm like, this guy's so much fun. You just buy me toys. And then, you know. 2/3 of the movie, he's not around. You're like, where is this guy?
He's Robert De Niro in The Fan. He just leaves him.
One of my dad's favorite books.
I think Boyhood was the best, but I think it is the best picture, but like I think Whiplash might be my favorite.
I haven't seen it. I haven't
Unbelievable.
Seen it.
See that either. Those are the only two movies I didn't see that were.
So you saw everything. You saw Selma?
I didn't see.
I've seen
Birdman.
Them all.
I love too.
Birdman
is fucking great.
I didn't get Birdman.
Okay, well, it's like National Treasure, but with your brain.
Yeah. I thought what's her name? Emma Stone was great in it, though.
Yeah,
she killed it in that, and so does Edward Norton.
Edward Norton.
I like National Treasure because it features one.
Yeah,
Nicolas Cage.
But I know the scene was great when they were just going arguing in the beginning, not arguing. Edward, they were doing the scene together. He's like, "Come on, get more out of it."
Yeah,
I used to do that in the fucking Meisner classes. I was like, "That's fucking really good."
Norton was slightly better than Keaton in it.
Yeah,
he was fucking great.
I don't know, man. Michael Keaton.
I love
fucking,
Keaton.
He was awesome too. He was fantastic.
He's so fucking good.
He's awesome. You ever see Desperate Measures?
No.
Him and Andy Garcia. He's you know what I'm talking about?
He was really funny in The Other Guys.
But what?
Yeah.
What I'm afraid of is
Those
Keaton.
Two, yeah. Two solid. Totally. Does anybody see Desperate Measures?
No.
Okay, well, I'll just stop talking about
Keaton,
that.
Keaton feels like this year's Mickey Rourke, and Eddie Redmayne feels like the Harvey Milk Sean Penn thing.
And I can't. Where's Redmayne from?
England.
No, but like what movie?
Theory of Everything, which I think was one of the worst movies I've seen.
Birdman, with the funniest scene was he got locked outside and he's walking in his underwear.
Yeah.
I used to work at a play on Broadway as an usher. That happened to one of the actresses where she was smoking a cigarette, got locked outside of the stage door, and had to come around to the front in her. She was wearing clothes actually, but she had like a what do you fucking call her? A sweater, not a sweater, but
shawl.
One of those things on, and she was like walking in. She's now I had to escort her to the back.
Two copies of National Treasure in both her hands.
Like, you're the greatest actress. Are you from National Treasure? You're such a great actress.
So, you know what though? The guy from National Treasure did work one of my plays.
How excited
I've never
are you?
Met anyone that has the worst favorite movie.
It really is.
Are we really going to start this relationship off like that?
I got a buddy I grew up with that loved Armageddon.
Oh, that's pretty
I liked it at the time.
But he stayed with it. Still defends it.
Kept going.
I just imagine this same guy doing the circle of the belly button with the animal cracker. Yeah. That's what love is, bro.
I'm not going to lie. Would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if he does animal crackers on his girlfriend's belly.
Chris Scopo lives in my house. That's exciting, huh? Did you stay there last night?
No, I have no bed.
Oh, right.
So I have to wait.
When did he move in?
Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday. I moved like heavy shit Saturday and most of my shit
How's
Sunday.
Canner's place? Cool?
It's great. It's awesome. Yeah, it's cool.
I think what you guys should do, you get to pick a movie that you guys watch together, and then you watch National Treasure together.
I've seen National Treasure. It stinks.
But I would like, each month you guys should do a movie trade. Where Scopo's like,
a movie night?
Have you seen? All right, dude, where's my car? It's kind of a mystery. So you got to really pay attention. Really watch the beginning, because I think you're going to notice a twist at the end you're going to like. And then Joe's like, why don't you watch JFK?
You should watch Dude, Where's My Car? It's like Mystic River with all the sad parts taken out.
It's like a fun Mystic River.
Is that my car in there? Is that my car? Where's my car?
Well, we're going to end it on that. This has been a fun podcast, a bobbyless podcast.
Yeah.
Mike Lawrence, where are you at on Twitter?
At the Mike Lawrence.
All right.
Dates? We do
dates. Yeah. Where are you coming? It's coming out next Monday.
Next Monday, I'm going to be in Zany's in Chicago, Valentine's Day weekend. And if you're a fan of mine, you'll be alone anyway. So come.
There you go. Nathaniel McIntosh.
It's at Nathan McIntosh, and I'm doing a college in Michigan, and then after that I'm going to be in Canada, the place that doesn't exist down here, so I mean...
It fucking does, dude.
I won't even say where the shows are.
Truth?
I'll be February 21st, Land Ho Tavern in Harwichport with Mark Norman. 25th and 26th, I'll be up in New Hampshire. Hit me up for details, and then I'll be at Nick's Comedy Stop that weekend. Oh, and then Valentine's Day week, St. Louis Funny Bone.
Yeah.
Come on out.
And, Valentine's Day weekend, where we're all working, so no one else. Oh, that's fucking brutal. I hate Valentine's Day.
Patriots.
Oh, your girlfriend's in California now.
Yeah, I'll be super sad.
Did she leave you yet? No?
Yeah, she left. Yeah. I was out there.
I meant, like, leave you in life.
What about? Oh, no, not yet. That'll probably happen soon.
California.
Scopo?
Just get me on Twitter, at Chris Scopo.
Okay.
On the Twitter.
R2Deepu.
You can follow me on Twitter at R2Deepu. And in a couple of hours, I'm going to broadcast from my house. So if anyone watching live wants to watch that.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm going to be playing two video games simultaneously. Going to have some comics on.
Out. Okay.
So should be a fun time. Check it out.
If we call him R2Deepu, can we call him C3 Scopo?
Yeah, absolutely. That's perfect. How do we not think of that?
Yeah, that was a good one.
C3 Scopo.
You have the fucking savant over here.
Yeah, you're right.
Just say I have autism.
Let me read Bobby's.
Let me do mine before you do Bobby's. Yeah. I'll be at in Madison, Wisconsin, Comedy on State the weekend of Valentine's Day. Then the week after that, House of Comedy in Scottsdale, Arizona. At Dan Soder on Twitter and DanSoder.com. Go.
Yeah. All right, Bobby. 221, Uncle Vinny's in East Hanover, New Jersey. March 6th and 7th, he's at the Arlington Draft House in Arlington, Virginia. And that's it for now. All right, thank you guys. Dan, want to sign us off?
Yeah, thanks for listening. This has been a Bobbyless. You know what, dude? And we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.
Shitty jobs. Shitty jobs.
Check out riotcast.com for all of the best podcasts on the internet. And they are all free.
And they are all free.
Hey, what's going on? When you're ready to buy a car, True Car is changing car buying forever. Yes, True Car helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Every day, True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. And True Car users save an average of $3,221 off the MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, download the True Car mobile app or go to truecar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the True Car certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. With True Car, you can save time, save money, and never overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the True Car mobile app or visit truecar.com today.